Let's open up in our Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 6. Baptism Sunday. Always love it. If you've never been baptized, you have an opportunity to do that tonight. And as Bruce said, even if you haven't signed up yet, you can meet with us in the family room right after the service, and you can find out more about it. Ephesians chapter 6, Spiritual Armor Part 2. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we ask that you would bless this time now in your word. Days are dark. Days are evil. And we need to be strong for you. Equipped by you. Men and women of truth. Father, I pray that you would speak to each one of us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I remind you again, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that we are a people at war. We are at war with a host of demonic forces who are under the direction of Satan. Our enemy is crafty, intelligent, powerful. The main objective of our spiritual enemy is to keep unbelievers in the dark, to blind unbelievers from the life-changing message of the gospel. And then the second priority of our enemy would be to destroy the witness of Christians. So if you become a Christian, if you become a believer, Satan now wants to neutralize you, weaken you, take you off the racetrack, take you out of the battle. And this is going on around us every day. Christian, we need to be strong in God. We need to be mighty in the Lord. And as we've been learning, we need to wear armor, spiritual armor. And our text is showing us, talking about each piece of armor that we're to put on. Begin looking again at verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 6. It says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." So last time together, we talked about the belt of truth, absolute necessity, and the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes of gospel peace. All very, very important pieces of equipment. If you weren't here last week, you can get caught up with us online or get the message. We look at the next three, and they're very important. And the fourth on the list, our first this morning, is the shield of faith. Look at verse 16. "Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." Now, this is so important. This is speaking of the shield that the infantry would use right in the midst of heavy-duty battle. This was a big, oblong-shaped shield. It was about 4 feet tall, 2.5 feet wide, made of wood, some made of brass, covered in leather, curved on the inner side. The soldier held it with his left hand. And it was big enough that you could crouch your whole body behind that shield. The whole purpose of the shield, the main objective of the shield, was to be a defense against fiery arrows. Now, you've probably seen this in the movies. You have a big battle marching, maybe towards a city or a fort, or maybe another army is marching to meet them. And one of the first things that they would do would be launch the arrows, right? And a lot of times they'd dip the tip of their arrows in pitch or tar, set it on fire, and that very first thing, a barrage, just a bombardment of these arrows, meant to totally disrupt, create fires, pandemonium. And so, as a defense to that, and even in anticipation of that, they'd carry these shields. Sometimes they'd even dip the shields in water. And they'd come, and those arrows are launched, and they'd pull that shield up, and it would extinguish those arrows. In fact, one historian said that a lot of times after the battle, these shields would look like porcupines. Just all these smoking quills sticking out. Another important detail about these shields is they could be linked together. So the guys on the front line, when the arrows came, a lot of times they'd join their shields together and it would look like this wall coming at you. Had to have that shield. Absolute necessity. You know the arrows are coming. So you have to have the shield. And my brother and sister in Christ, you have to have this piece of armor every single day as a Christian. You need the shield, and this shield represents faith. It's called the shield of faith. Brother, sister in Christ. Absolute necessity. Faith is that persistent, steadfast, stubborn trust and reliance upon God and upon His Word. My brother and sister in Christ, we are to be men and women of faith, resolute, unbroken faith in God and in His promises. The whole Christian life is about faith. By faith, we believe that God exists. By faith in Christ, we get saved. We live the Christian life by faith. We do great exploits for God by faith. The scripture says that we are the people that walk not by sight, but by faith. It's faith, that active, dependent reliance upon God. And it is by faith in God that we quench the arrows of the enemy. And the verse says all of them. Does it say if you hold up the shield of faith, you'll get a few of those arrows? No, all of them, right? All of them. I want you to see this picture. I mean, this is a heavy-duty picture. Satan, Christian, listen, Satan is taking aim at you with fiery arrows. And not just Satan, but demonic forces pull every day. You need that shield up. And you know, I found that sometimes in the Christian life, it's like the enemy pulls out that silver bullet arrow, that one meant just for you, that he knows your weakness, and here it comes, man. You got to have the shield up. Then there are other times in life as a Christian where the whole volley comes. I mean, you are attacked on every front in life. These are long distance weapons. You don't see them being launched, do you? And then all of a sudden, boom, they're there. I mean, the enemy can launch a weapon, an arrow at you maybe yesterday, and it won't show up till tomorrow morning or later this week. And I'll tell you what, my brother and sister in Christ, you've got to have that faith. You've got to have that shield of faith up. Now, what are these darts? What are these flaming arrows that Satan launched? Anything. It's limitless. I believe that as Christians, we're being shot at all day long, every day. One Bible commentator I read wrote this: "It is no exaggeration to say that during earthly life, multiple thousands of deadly blazing arrows are launched at the Christian warrior by demons and by a demon-oppressed culture. There is battle and confusion all around. The sky rains glowing shafts. But the Christian raises his shield, and the arrows, though they be a thousand, are caught in victory." I think it's all around us every day. Every day you are bombarded by worldly messages that are anti-God, anti-Christian, designed to get you off track as a Christian. All the advertisements about how you need to become rich and how this is important and you should have this priority. I think there's psychological arrows that are shot at us every day. The enemy has been effective in my life at times where maybe I'm going through a hard time and I think to myself, well, wait a minute, I'm a Christian and I'm going through a hard time. And you look at some atheistic, pagan unbeliever, and it seems like everything's falling into place. You ever had that big pity party? I'm a Christian. And Satan uses that. Oh, look, you serve God, right? Look where it's gotten you. And at times like that, you got to pull out that shield of faith, and that shield of faith says, wait a minute, the story's not over. There's a long-term goal here. Temptations every day to sin, every single day. Temptations every day in your life to compromise your faith, every single day. Lies that come at you every single day. Fears. I believe that Satan loves to implant these fears in our minds. Maybe you go through a hard time financially and you think, oh, well, I'm never going to eat, or I'm going to go bankrupt. Or maybe you catch a little cold or something and the enemy says, you're going to die. And you go, yeah, I'm going to die. All of these things. Satan would love to paralyze you with fear. Let's make this person afraid. No, put up the shield of faith. Quench that arrow. Sometimes there are these big, big, huge things that happen in our life. Big obstacles. Maybe a loss of a job. Maybe something coming in your way in a very against you in a very strong way as you seek to serve the Lord. Sometimes even friendly fire. Ever been hurt by a brother or sister in Christ? Ever been hurt in a church? And you think, well, wait a minute, what's wrong with the church? Hey, man. And Satan uses that. Hey, you can't trust the church. Why go to church? You know, there's been times in my life where somebody I really respected in the faith, I really looked up to, fell into sin, and it was scandal. And at times like that, Satan comes along and says, look. I mean, they're coming all the time, these arrows, and you got to keep that shield of faith up, because that shield of faith gives you an answer to every one of those questions. Now, I want you to know this morning that your faith is only as good as the object of your faith. And our faith is to be in whom? In God. In the Lord Jesus Christ. If you put your faith in your career or your bank account, are you so sure that that's going to help you all the time? Or if you put your faith in a relationship or in a Christian leader or in maybe your physical health, won't last. But if you put your faith in God and His promises, He will never leave you or forsake you, and he will never, ever fail you. And that's the thing. With everything that gets launched at us day by day, it's this, I believe God and what he has said in this situation. And I'm holding on. And I'll tell you, as I read through the Bible and as I look through church history, the giants of the Christian faith were those who had giant faith in a giant God. They could see through the garbage, and they could see how powerful and awesome and wonderful and mighty God is. Do you know God's big, right? Bigger than anything you could face. You take that shield up in faith. No matter what comes against you, you say, you know what? I'm having faith in God through this, and you will quench those arrows. You know, one of my favorite characters in the Bible is David. And I think often of the time where he, as a teenager, took on Goliath the giant. This dude was almost 10 feet tall. Giant man. And one day, David is a teenager. He's going to the front lines. He's bringing lunch to his older brothers. And he walks by, and Goliath walks out, defying the army of Israel. And everybody's afraid and scared. You know, oh, there's Goliath. And remember, David is a teenager. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine who defies the armies of the living God? And you remember, he said, I'll take Goliath. And I have this picture of this little teenage kid with long red hair running at the giant, slaying Goliath, cutting his head off. He took 5 stones out of the riverbed. Why, you know, to give him more chances? No, the Bible tells us Goliath had 4 brothers. I think he was going after all 5 giants. And you even read that after he cuts off Goliath's head, the Philistines on the other side of the valley, they take off. They start running. And what did David do? Ran after them. He doesn't just want the giant. He wants the entire army. Now, there's a man who saw God and did mighty things by faith in God. That faith, that trust in God and his presence and his promises will keep you standing. Amen? The shield of faith. Let's look at the next one, the fifth one. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The helmet of salvation. You've probably all seen a Roman helmet. They're famous. The metal. You have those metal plates that come down and protect the cheeks. A metal plate on the back goes down and protects the neck. Some of them have those hairs, so it looks like a mohawk, right? And they have a band of metal that comes around them. You get that all put in place, and it leaves everything exposed except for the eyes, the nose, and the mouth. And a very important piece of equipment when you go to battle. You got to protect your noggin, right? You don't want a head injury. And so they put that on, and they went out to battle. And it served them as protection. Absolutely necessary part of their armor. The helmet, for us as Christians, represents salvation. The helmet of salvation. Now, what exactly does that mean? Well, I want you to understand something this morning. My brother and sister in Christ, when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, when you asked Jesus to be your Savior, God gave you that helmet. God gave you salvation. God delivered you. God rescued you. God redeemed you. Now, I want you to know something. In this battle, you are one of the saved ones. And don't ever forget that. You are saved. And as it says in the book of Hebrews, you are saved to the uttermost. In other words, you couldn't be any more saved than you are right now as a Christian. And you remember that. There are three tenses to our salvation. There's a past tense to your salvation. That day, if you look back in your past, when you asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior and you recognized that you needed to have your sins forgiven, on that day in your past, you were saved from the penalty of sin. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. The penalty is death. He took your penalty. When you put your faith in Him, He saved you from having to pay that penalty. In the past, you've been saved. You are being saved in the present. Today, as a Christian, you are being saved every day from the power of sin in your life. The idea is you're becoming more like Christ every day by the power of the Holy Spirit. You're gaining more and more victory over the power of sin in your life. Saved in the past from the penalty of sin, saved in the present from the power of sin, and there's a future tense. Jesus is coming again. One day we're all going to heaven. And at that moment, we'll be saved from the presence of sin. We're going to be getting glorified bodies, no longer any sin anymore. Amen. This is the salvation that you've had. This is the salvation that you've been given as a Christian. Saved in the past, saved in the present, saved in the future, forevermore, saved to the uttermost. You are the saved one. And putting on that helmet of salvation is putting on that assurance. And it gives you confidence and hope, because the battle gets bloody and you get bruised and you wonder, am I going to make it through? You're going to make it through. Put on that helmet of salvation. The enemy loves to get us to doubt our salvation. In fact, I found this to be true. If you are a brand new Christian, and maybe some of you just received Christ, maybe even a couple weeks ago at Pancho Juarez's crusade thing. I mean, you gave your life to Christ. A lot of times, very early on, the enemy will come along and get you to doubt that experience. Oh, did you know what you were doing? Really, are you saved? Did you say the prayer right? And I remember when I was a young Christian, time and time again, that voice, are you sure? Really? And when I first became a Christian, I got to tell you, I invited Jesus into my life every day. I'm making sure. And that would be okay. But listen, you don't have to live your life that way. Listen. Jesus, once He comes in, He'll never leave you. He saved you. If you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, He has saved you. Now, the enemy will also try to get you to think that maybe you could lose your salvation. Maybe you blow it as a Christian. You make a really bad mistake. And here he comes and says, oh, that's it for you. You've lost salvation. No heaven for you. And I know a lot of Christians who struggle with that. Man, I'm not good enough. I haven't changed enough. Am I really saved? And if you're walking around on a battlefield questioning your own salvation, man, you're not going to be as effective. Listen, your salvation is not based on your ability. On your ability to do good or to go to church enough. Salvation is based on the finished work of Jesus Christ. And if you have placed your faith and trust in Him, you are saved. And again, The enemy will come and try to discourage you and say, look, you're losing the battle. Man, there's been lots of times lately where I've looked at our country and I thought, we're losing it. The battle, I mean, look, what's happening? The good guys seem to be losing. The bad guys seem to be winning. And a lot of times you can look at the state of things and think, wow, is it? And just get discouraged. Put on the helmet of salvation. Listen, as Christians, we are not fighting in this battle for victory. We're fighting from victory. You are saved. You will be saved. Ultimately, Christ is coming and everything is going to be made brand new. You're on the winning side. And let that fill you with confidence. I remember as a kid, we used to have these cheap little football helmets. And I'd put them on and I'd think, I'm super now. Put the helmet on and run into walls. Try to tackle trees. Think, wow, I'm invincible. That's sort of what it's like. You're in the battle. You're in the thick of it. You question, no, put on that helmet of salvation. I have been saved, I am saved, and I will be saved. And that gives you confidence and hope. Strength to move forward. The helmet of salvation. Let's look at the sixth piece. I love this one. This one's my favorite. Again in verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the what? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now this is referring to the Roman legionnaires' double-edged short sword called a machaira. Don't think of the big giant sword, you know, that you have to hold with two hands and slash like that. So this is a sword that was more like a dagger, 18 inches. It hung nicely right there at your belt. You could pull it out. It's a weapon that you can move very quickly. It was deadly. Absolutely deadly in the hands of somebody who knew how to use it. Double-edged, it would come to a razor-sharp point. This was a dagger that would act, you could poke through somebody's armor with that strong. And of course, it was for hand-to-hand combat, up-close fighting. Something that you pull out in the moment that you need it and put it back in. This is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. This would speak of the Bible and your knowledge of the Scripture, the truth of God's Word. Last time we talked about the belt of truth and how the idea is we need to have God's truth, God's Word, wrapped around us. Holding everything together, and that's kind of like a defensive measure. And when we talked about the belt of the truth, it's this general, over-encompassing understanding of truth. And there's a word in the Bible that would speak of that. It would be the Greek word logos. You've heard the word logos? The whole comprehensive word of God in general. The sword of the Spirit speaks of specific bits of information. In verse 17, when it says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the Greek word for word is not logos there, but instead it's the word rhema. Rhema always speaks of a very specific utterance of God. A word that is specific to a given situation. So the idea is, in spiritual warfare, when you're in this battle, there are going to be times where things come in to your life where real quickly you got to stab, pull out, maybe go on some offense, put it back in. The idea is in spiritual warfare, in this battle, there are going to be times where you need to be able to pull out God's word very specifically for a very specific situation in the power of the Holy Spirit. And people who know the Bible well, God's word, man, that's what you'll be able to do. Now, the most classic example of this was when Jesus was tempted by Satan. Do you remember that? Three times. Satan tempted Jesus. Satan said, "Since you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." And you remember how Jesus responded. Matthew 4, he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Right? And then Satan came at him again and said, "Jump from the highest pinnacle of the temple." And then he goes, "For it is written." The enemy knows scripture. "Your angels will take charge of you." Jesus says, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." You see what's going on? Offense, defense. And then a third time, Satan said, "Hey, just bow down and worship me and I'll give you everything right now." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and him only you shall serve." Three times, Jesus, every time he was tempted, pulled out a specific word, a verse. That's the Makaira, the dagger. That's what we need as Christians. And I'm telling you, you've got to, that is why I exhort week after week here, it seems like, that you have got to know your Bible. You've got to know that whole truth, the belt, in a big picture way. And then you got to know it so that you can pull it out. So every day when Satan comes and tempts you with sin, you not only pull out that shield, but you also pull out a verse, right? Or he comes at you with fear. You pull out a verse like Isaiah 41:10. "Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Something comes into your life trying to get you to doubt. "Oh, you can't do this." Philippians 4, verse 13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Pull those out. Use them. I've also found that you can use the scripture very effectively on the offense. I mean, a lot of times it's defense, but also offense. When you're out there sharing the word with people, when you're sharing the gospel, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." This word is so sharp. It's so surgical. You're having a conversation with somebody about the Lord and something comes up. You pull out. It works. In marvelous ways. Years ago, I remember being on a mission trip. I just graduated from the School of Ministry in Albuquerque, and our graduating class went to Hungary and what used to be Yugoslavia. There is no Yugoslavia anymore. And those various areas. And I remember one night in Budapest, Hungary, we did a big outreach on the plaza there, and I was preaching, and we had this really popular Christian rock band with us. who I've actually had come and play with us. They're called The Cry. And all they do is set up and attract a crowd. And so they would set up, a big crowd would show up, and we'd preach the gospel. And that was my night to preach. And, you know, there's something about having the Holy Spirit bringing Scripture to mind as you're preaching. But afterwards, I was asked, somebody came up to me and in broken English said, "Preacher, we'd like you to meet Wicked Woman." And I said, "No, thanks." No, I'm kidding. But it turns out they brought me to a group that had gathered towards the end of that service, and it was a pimp and four prostitutes. And me and a buddy were given the task to share with them. And there was spiritual warfare involved. There was a fight over the souls of those women and that man. And I remember sharing with them. And the thing that came to me, the passage that immediately came to me was John chapter 8, where Jesus is working with the woman who was caught in adultery. And just the powerful beauty of that message. He's without sin, cast the first stone. And then saying to that woman caught in the very act of adultery, "Go and sin no more." And I remember being able to share the gospel with them. And using that. And how I could see God working through that. And I knew it was spiritual warfare because right in the middle of it, one of them went to a wall and puked. Had to run away and lost her cookies over the wall, and then she came back. And it was literally using the Bible. They came to Christ. And then the question was, well, what do we do now? How do we make our living? And at that point, we directed them to a local church. But everything about John 8 worked. "I no longer condemn you, but go and sin no more." It's supernatural. The sword of the Spirit. Use it for defense, use it for offense. Have you ever watched, like a movie like The Lord of the Rings or Gladiator or one of those big time fighting, and there's always a scene where they're training, right? There they are doing their moves a lot better than I just did it. Training, right? And they're taking shots, and they're really going through it. And so the point of saying that is you will not be good with the sword unless you train. You can't just pull out the sword of the Bible if you haven't taken time to study the Bible and to train. So important that we are reading our Bibles, meditating on our Bibles, memorizing our Bibles, studying our Bibles, hearing the Bible taught at church. Getting all of that truth in you, because you wrap it around in a big general sense, and then you also have the ability to pull very specific portions at just the right time. And by the way, the Holy Spirit will bring those truths to your remembrance. Bible promises the Holy Spirit will give you the right word to say at the right time. But you got to get that truth in there. And that takes some effort. That takes some training. The shield of faith. The helmet of salvation. The sword of the Spirit. And add that to the shoes of gospel peace. The breastplate of righteousness. The belt of truth. Christian, put all that around you every day. You need it desperately. That's your safety. I remember years ago somebody gave me this little image to think through, and I'd like to close with this when it comes to the armor. I want you to think back to the day that you gave your life to Jesus Christ. That first day you said, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. Save me and forgive me. At that moment, imagine the nail print hands of Jesus taking that helmet of salvation, putting it on your head. And then Jesus put that breastplate of righteousness, that belt of truth. He stooped down and he washed your feet, and then he put on those shoes. Gave you that shield. Said, son, here's your sword. Here's your sword. Your commanding officer, your savior, your general has put that armor on you. Keep it on. Amen? Learn how to use it. There's safety in what Christ has done. You know, you could be here this morning and you're not sure if you've had that helmet put on. You're not sure. If you have not received Christ, then you will pay the penalty for your own sins. You are not saved. Give your life to Christ this morning and get saved. Get in His family, in His army. Salvation has nothing to do with you. You can't earn it. You could never be good enough. Salvation comes by placing your faith in Christ, who died for you and rose again for you. Father, I pray that we well, Lord, that we would take all these things very serious. That this would not just be some study that we hear and walk away from. That this would not be a passage that is amusing, entertaining. Father, I pray that this is a passage that we would take action with. That we would seek, Lord, to know your word. To remember salvation. To hold on to you with great faith. To understand, Lord, the righteousness that we have in you. Lord, we rejoice that we are victorious in you. The battle's tough now, but we know you are victorious. And help us be strong and victorious in the battle. Lord, there's many, many people around that don't know you and need to be saved. And that battle's going on, and we need to be strong and consistent in our witness. Help us, Lord. I pray for anyone here this morning, Lord, who does not know you. You may be here this morning, and you have not received Christ. You have not had your sins washed away. The blood of Christ washes away all sin. Don't hear the lie of the enemy. The enemy would say, oh, you've been too bad. Oh, you've done too much. There's no way you could be saved. Listen, you can be. The blood of Christ washes away all sin. But you need to come to Christ. And ask him to be your Savior and ask him to wash away your sin. For safety, for salvation, for rescue, for deliverance. And for all of eternity, man, all of eternity, not just this life. Stakes are huge. So if you've never received that helmet of salvation, I invite you to pray this prayer with me right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I want that helmet. Give me salvation. Save me. I admit right now that I'm a sinner. And I thank you for dying on the cross for all my sins. I believe in you. I put my faith in you. Save me. Make me your child. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all the days of my life, strong and consistent for you. Let's all stand.